Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu was in the Pentagon briefing room for the announcement this afternoon, joining us live. And I guess my first question is, what exactly did we learn today, Jared?
Well, yeah, hey, Francis. We certainly got a lot more detail today, I guess, than we did at the Pentagon's announcement a few when they rolled out what they called their defense strategic guidance, the sort of blueprint for how they'd shift the military's focus to come up with this $487 billion in cuts. We did not get the full 2013 DOD budget, not surprisingly, but and you know, they're going to leave a lot of the granular details to when the president submits the entire government's budget. But we did get at least the top line budget figures for DOD today. And just to run through those quickly, next year they'll ask for a total of $614 billion, $525 billion of that in a base budget, $88 billion still in the overseas contingency operations account for Iraq and Afghanistan, or now just Afghanistan, actually, sorry. And then that cut is a real cut in dollar terms compared to what they're spending even this year. Even when you look at just the base budget, they'll cut $6 billion compared with fiscal year 12 and even more of those contingency accounts. But they're also planning on increasing that funding over the next 5 years. The funding will not be on a downslope. So by the time you get out to 2017, the planned spending in the base budget is $567 billion compared to $525 billion next year. But as Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says, it's much less than DOD had previously planned to spend.
Under the budget that was submitted in the past, we had a projected growth level for the defense budget. And that growth would have provided for almost $500 billion in growth. And we had obviously dedicated that to a number of plans and projects that we would have. That's got to be cut. And that's a real cut in terms of what our projected growth would be. So the reason you're seeing the tough decisions that are being presented to you in the implementation of this strategy is because we had to achieve savings that would meet the requirement that Congress gave us.
That's Defense Secretary Leon Panetta today talking about the Pentagon's budget request for fiscal 2013. What did we learn today about the size of the military overall and the various branches?
Well, definitely a smaller Army and Marine Corps, as we kind of been expecting. It would go from 570,000 to 490,000, not all at once, but within 5 years, that 490,000 at the end of the 5 years. The Marine Corps would drop by 20,000 down to a total of 182,000. But both of those services would still be bigger than they were on 9/11, but, you know, still a pretty significant decline from today. For the Army, it means two brigades come out of Europe, as has been previously reported. That leaves two brigades still there. And all indications are that the Army footprint in Asia is going to stay where it is as of today, especially in Korea. That obviously reflects the DOD desire to have a strategic shift to the Asia-Pacific region. General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and a former Army chief, of course, told us today that he is comfortable with those ground force numbers.
I'm confident that 490 active, by the way, is the right number for 2017. May not be the right number for 2020. I've always said that the Army, when I was the Army chief, that the Army needs to be adaptable enough to provide the greatest number of options given the security environment we face. So we grew the Army to confront a particular kind of conflict, to conduct the stability operations counterinsurgency strategies that we were asked to execute. Those demands are going down. I think it's perfectly reasonable that the force structure of the active Army would go down as well.
That's the chairman.
And as we've already heard.
Go ahead, Jared.
Sorry, Francis. As we've already heard, DOD is not structuring itself to have standing forces prepared to tackle the big counterinsurgencies like the ones the military has been dealing with for the past 10 years. They're leaning on this concept that we've talked about before called reversibility. They say they'll hold on to a lot of their mid-grade officers and NCOs to handle that, even as they make overall personnel reductions. You know, the hope is that they can hold on to the expertise that those officers have gained over the last 10 years of war.
Now, a lot of the conversation around reducing budgets ever since Secretary Gates first proposed it almost 2 years ago now was revolved around personnel costs. And at one time, Secretary Gates talked about, in healthcare costs in particular, he used the term eating us alive. Mm-hmm. Do we get a sense today where some of the personnel cost issues might go?
Well, yes and no and sort of. What we do know is that DOD plans to ask for what Secretary Panetta called standard pay raises for uniform personnel for the next 2 years, 13 and 14. I believe the pay raise over the past couple of years has been around 1.4%. But then after the next 2 years, those annual increases start to come down. The reasoning being they wanted to give service members and their families, you know, fair warning that the era of smaller raises or no raises is coming, at least for a while. And Panetta says when they were going through looking for savings, he says they looked everywhere else first, then had to resort to cutbacks in personnel spending.
We focused first on every other area of the defense enterprise for savings in order to minimize any impact on the quality of the troops and their families. As a result, we were able to sustain or enhance critical support programs while reforming and reorganizing others to be more effective and responsive to the needs of their troops and their families. Yet, in order to build the force needed to defend the country under existing budget constraints, the escalating growth in personnel costs must be confronted.
And so to that point, other personnel topics we covered today, DOD will once again propose what it calls modest increases on health care premiums for retired military members, but they did not offer a specific number today. Then on retirement, no proposal yet other than they want a presidential commission to study the issue and make some recommendations, hopefully by next year.
Last year at this time, we were talking about finding efficiencies, and that was a buzzword around DOD spending for a while. Mm-hmm. Any more of those today, or are we just about done with efficiencies? Are they pretty much all done?
Well, no, there actually are some new ones, and Panetta says they've got a pretty detailed plan. It's not reflected in the documents we saw today, in my opinion, frankly, but they are talking about another $60 billion over the next 5 years. We'll walk through just some of those in a second. But here's one potential long-term savings that they didn't put in the budget because Congress needs to approve it first, which is another round of base realignments and closures, even while DOD is still settling in from the 2005 BRAC round. Panetta says with a smaller military in the works, base structure is going to have to come down too.
You know, it's a fundamental problem we have to confront as we draw down the force. We've got to take a look at the infrastructure that's supporting the remaining force. And the reality is that that we are going to have to be able to reduce that infrastructure. The best approach to reducing that infrastructure politically on Capitol Hill has been to work it through the BRAC process. I've been through BRAC. I know its weaknesses and its failings. Obviously, we will continue to work to make sure that it's done effectively and that we achieve the savings that we hope to achieve from the process. But I have to tell you, there is no more effective process to make it happen than using the BRAC process.
There's no savings embedded.
Okay, so again, that's savings that's not in the budget. As far as efficiency savings that are in the budget, that new $60 billion figure I mentioned, there are several categories they've identified. Most of them are pretty vague, frankly. You know, better use of IT, better value for contracting dollars, better inventory management. But some interesting ones, too. They're going to put limitations on official travel, some of which I understand has already been happening. And the two that really caught my eye were just these one-line references to these two things. Reductions in contract services, which sounds like another attempt at insourcing to me. Another puzzling one is reductions in civilian pay raises. And given that the president plans to ask for just a half a percentage point next year after a couple years of freezes, I'm not sure what that reduction would be to. I have asked the Pentagon for clarification on those and some other things. They have promised to get back to me on that, but nothing so far.
If I could just ask you quickly, you mentioned the term reversibility, and we've talked about that before on Federal News Radio. Any mm-hmm. clarification today on what specifically they might be trying to engage on reversibility so that it could come back at some point?
Well, obviously the objective, which they talked a little bit about today, is to make sure that they don't just cut personnel and lose everything that frankly they've gained over the past 10 years of war, all the things that they've learned about doing counterinsurgency, but about doing a lot of other things. So that's the point behind retaining some of the talent that they've built up in those mid-grade officer corps and the mid-grade NCOs. They think that should they need to build those ground forces back up at some point, that gives them a leg up, that gives them the ability to accelerate that build-up once again.
Do we get any more insight into this and how it might affect the individual branches?
We will get some of that tomorrow. So far, we've heard announcements that at least the Army and the Air Force are going to do their own budget briefings. I would expect by the end of the evening we'll hear that the Department of the Navy is going to do its own briefing as well. But we should be hearing from at least a couple of the services tomorrow with specific breakdowns on how it's going to impact them.